Okay, well, everybody, welcome back. We are on Shuttlepod episode 11, which is going to be our convention-centric episode, and we have titled it, very creatively, The Wrath of Khan. With me, of course, are my friends.
Hi, I'm Kayla.
I'm Brian.
Welcome back, friends. We are excited to do this. So, now, before we actually started recording, we were just talking about stabilization gifts, which I have never heard of. Could you guys explain that to our audience, for those who may not be familiar with it?
Sure. So there's a bunch of these going around, videos and gifts, and there was one that was going around yesterday of a shot from the Next Generation of one of those scenes where everyone's on the bridge and they've, you know, gotten hit by a photon torpedo or something, and so the bridge is shaking and all the actors are moving around and the camera is shaking too, and someone's applied a video stabilization algorithm to it, so it appears that the camera is standing still, and the results are pretty hilarious because it's basically just all the actors moving around randomly and nonsensically.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this before, and so I was just looking it up right now, and they're fantastic.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing where, you know, I they say that the Star Trek was one of the main reasons that the internet was created and refined, and I'm just astonished and gratified that like 20, 25 years into the development of the internet, that Star Trek is still, even without new content being on the air for the last 10 years, except for a couple movies, that it's still generating interest on the internet, and people are finding creative ways to use it to celebrate Trek.
Totally.
All right. I do want to say we are recording this on February 3rd, 2006. So yesterday was Groundhog's Day.
That would be 2016.
Did I say 2016? Sorry. I was caught in a temporal feedback loop. And I thought.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Oh my gosh, all the time. I always hate it.
Which is a relevant segue into what you're about to say about Groundhog Day.
Yes. We had an article about Groundhog Day, and I wrote up five episodes that I think would be fun to watch to celebrate Groundhog Day that are related to one of the most ridiculous made-up holidays of all time. So if you haven't checked it out, go back to our website, trekmovie.com, and be sure to check out those five timeless Groundhog Day classics.
One of my favorite examples, Jared, that you came up with is an episode of, I think it's DS9, that you basically point out the B story of that involves a creature that's the most similar thing to an actual groundhog that we ever see.
Yes, exactly.
It was a clever pick.
Yeah, I was able to get four good episodes, and I thought, I got to find something else. And sadly, there is no Memory Alpha article on groundhogs that I could just mine, so that was the closest thing I could find. And they did some, I don't know if it's Michael Westmore or whoever, but the production design on those space rodents is beautiful. Disgusting, but like beautifully disgusting.
All right.
Okay, so we are going to talk about conventions 2016. Now, Brian, is there any particular reason why conventions might be more exciting this year than some other year?
There's a milestone this year, 50th anniversary.
There it is.
Yeah, it's going to be a rich, full year, gang. There's going to be conventions, there's going to be concerts, there's going to be anything you could possibly think of.
I saw William Shatner is continuing his one-man show. He's doing one near where I live, so I don't know if I'll go see it again. But that is another good way to celebrate the 50th.
Yeah, a friend of mine saw it a couple of weeks ago. He was raving about it.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. To be honest, I've heard every story that he has to tell.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
A million times.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are things in the show that I haven't heard, but when you've been reading about and listening to interviews with this man for the better part of four decades, I can't imagine there's too many earth-shattering things about William Shatner I don't already know.
The one thing that he said, I saw it in Philadelphia 3 years ago, and the one story he told that I really liked was about when he was watching the moon landing. Have you heard that story? Where like he had a little TV on his stomach and he's like watching it in bed. And, you know, he was very melancholy and feeling sorry for himself because his marriage had failed throughout the course of the original series. But he felt that by raising the idea of space travel in the public mind through Star Trek, that maybe he'd contributed some small way to that momentous part of human history. And so I thought that was endearing. I thought that was a good story.
It's a sweet moment.
Yeah, I thought it was a very sweet moment. Yeah. Anyway, but we're talking about conventions. So Kayla, you are the more experienced convention goer of all of us. And I think you were originally from Arizona, so let's start with the Phoenix Comic Con.
Oh yeah, well, Phoenix Comic Con has got to be one of my favorite conventions. So it sort of stands out to me because it's in sort of that sweet spot. So their conventions fall into, in general, two categories in terms of sort of what they're like to attend and the general atmosphere. And one on one end of the spectrum, you have San Diego Comic Con, which is the biggest convention ever, and it's impossible to get tickets, and hotel rooms cost $8,000, and it's basically just been turned into a, a trade show. Is basically it's what I call it a, a pop culture trade show is essentially what it is, and it's run mostly by the networks and the production companies, and which is fine. I mean, that's what that event has become. And then there's the opposite end of the spectrum where you have the small town conventions that are run exclusively by fans. There usually are not very many big, if any big, headliner stars that attend. There will be some, maybe some writers and some artists, local people, and maybe a couple of actors that they've gotten to come out. But usually the what's great about those cons is the atmosphere, interacting with the other guests at the convention, the other people who are attending, going to panels that are run by fans. So instead of going to, say, listen to William Shatner speak on stage, you go and you listen to a discussion about, say, who's the best captain or, what have you. And it turns into some fun discussion with a bunch of other fans. And Phoenix Comic Con is great because at where it is right now in its development, it's sort of in between those things. It started off very much as one of the really small town conventions that used to be held in a suburb of Phoenix, Mesa. And I went to it when it was in Mesa, and it was great. And it was one of these small town cons. But then when they got bigger and they moved to the Phoenix Convention Center, it's sort of like they still have the feel of like the fans are still running a ton of the programming, which I think is
Oh yeah.
fantastic. Yeah. And but then they
Instead
have.
of it being corporatized.
Exactly.
Right.
So instead of just like, oh, like go get your autographs and go home, it's like you're really interacting with fans and it's a rich experience. But then they have big headliner stars and a huge space and just more high quality merchandise and stuff like that. And so it's kind of a great one for, in terms of the overall con experience, I would say Phoenix Comic Con is towards the top of my list for sure.
And you go every year.
I go whenever I can. So for a while, I was living in Europe, and it was difficult to travel home just for that. But
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Right.
yeah, I go whenever I can. And that this year it is June 2nd to 5th in the Phoenix Convention Center, and I think passes are going on sale soonish.
That's great that it's more of a homemade kind of a thing, and it's more fan driven. Because I one of the things I always, I regret, and not that I had any control over it, but I always wondered what the early Trek conventions in like 72, 73, and 74 were like,
Yeah.
when it was done strictly for passion and not for profit. And even the actors, I mean, the actors were showing up basically, and the only thing they were getting paid was their expenses to get there, basically.
Wow.
I mean, it was like it truly was like a grassroots movement back then, and
Totally.
I really wish I could have been there to see that.
Yeah, that would have been incredible.
Yeah, and I feel like you still can sort of capture some of that when if you go to these smaller cons. So, I mean, wherever you live in the world, it's much easier, of course. If you're in the United States, there's just a much more higher density of conventions. But pretty much anywhere in the world, you can find a convention that you can get to that'll be a small local one, and that will definitely have more of that kind of a feel.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, do you want to talk anything? You mentioned the San Diego Comic-Con. Is there anything that you want to talk about that? Because obviously there will be a Trek presence there this year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And we're still kind of waiting to hear on specifics about who's going to be there and what's going to be there. But that's all kind of starting to crystallize up now, up until when the convention itself, which is July 21st to the 24th, plus the preview night on the 20th.
Now here's the thing that'll be really interesting is, and I don't know if this was part of their timing for the release date, but Star Trek Beyond comes out July 22nd, so
Right.
it will come out during San Diego Comic-Con. So there's a potential for them to get a really good press bump for that if they're not overwhelmed by comic book movies and whatnot.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there won't be any kind of presence from Star Trek there. I I would think if they were smart, they would do something in a big way at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Because like I said, it's the pop culture trade show where you get the word out about your new show or your new movie and just give away cool stuff and show people cool stuff. So
right.
Seems like that would be a very sadly missed opportunity if they didn't do anything big. So yeah, I would guess that something's going to happen.
Yeah, I also think there's more room for that this year now that Disney has basically pulled all of the Star Wars and Disney and Marvel Comics properties out of Comic-Con to put them at D23 instead.
D23.
So there's much more space for anybody else. And so hopefully this will really help our publicize not just Star Trek Beyond, but the 50th as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm sorry, do you think you'll go to San Diego Comic-Con this year, Kayla?
Well, I've applied for media passes, so if I get approved, like I have in the past, like we have for Trek Movie, then I'll be going. Pre-registration's already closed, so if you've had passes in the past and are trying to get them again, you've missed that deadline, but you can open registration will happen sometime soon. So you can try again for passes, but again, it's kind of a lottery. You get really lucky if you get any of the passes, and if you get all week, then you're extremely lucky. So, and if you don't live in the area, getting a hotel could be very expensive and almost impossible. Even if you have a lot of money, they're just all full.
Yeah.
You have to book them like a year in advance, don't you?
Yeah. So what you do, I know for if you're doing the pre-registration, you can put your name basically in a lottery to get a hotel room, and you say, this is my top like three hotel choices. Wow. And they'll still be, you know, exorbitantly expensive. So you can't worry about price at this point. You're just like, these are my top choices. And you, like, maybe you'll get one of those, in terms of like, we have a room for you for the week. But yeah, it's so crazy. And they've talked about moving it as well. In fact, there's a guy that hangs around San Diego, and he goes to like out in front of like the Target or whatever, and will like set up a little table that's like Keep Comic-Con in San Diego, and he's out like doing some grassroots movement to keep Comic-Con there instead of moving it somewhere else. But they're thinking that maybe they're outgrowing it, which I don't know where else they would go, because San Diego Convention Center is huge.
Well, there's also
where are they going to go? L.A. I mean,
yeah, but even is that any bigger? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Vegas,
I guess. It would be easier for, I guess it would be that too. But it could be easier for the studios too if they don't have to leave Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be the real. That would be the real seller there.
Yeah.
Well, I have more friends who live in LA than live in San Diego, so if I ever go, that would be advantageous to me.
There you go. If you Indeed. Yeah, if you know someone who lives in San Diego, definitely see if you can crash on their couch during Comic-Con.
Okay. Well, let's see. You just mentioned potentially moving to Las Vegas. Of course, there is the Star Trek Las Vegas convention, or STLV, which we go to every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few developments about that over the last few days. I mean, obviously, you know, that convention was announced, you know, almost a year ago. So there's been plenty of time for people to buy tickets and book hotel rooms. And because of that, it apparently the tickets are running out very fast. Yesterday, Creation tweeted out that a complete sellout of Las Vegas is imminent. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you better move very fast.
Yeah. And not just tickets for the convention, but hotel space too.
Right. Now the Rio, the block of rooms for the actual days of the convention are gone already.
Oh, wow.
Completely gone. The days surrounding the convention, like the day, a couple of days before that and a few days after it, are available. But the actual days of the convention are completely gone. If you go to Creation's website, they are pointing people toward the Palm now, which is across the street.
Oh, yeah, that's where I stayed in 2014.
Yeah, the Palms.
That's where you did too, right?
Yeah, the Palms is a good option. The Gold Coast is also a good option. It's a little bit cheaper, and it's right next door to the Rio. And then the Palms is across the street from the Gold Coast. So both of those are good options, and a lot of people stay there.
Right. So I was looking at Creation's site yesterday, and there's already over 50 people booked for it.
In terms of stars.
Yeah.
Right. They claim they're going to have over 100 by the time it's all said and done, which is typical for a Creation convention.
Yeah, I believe it, for sure.
You know, Shatner appears to be headlining it. I would assume every effort will be made to get Patrick Stewart there.
Yeah.
Diana Muldaur will be there.
Oh, interesting.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. she's booked. So hopefully, I have a feeling we're going to start. Well, we will see people who either make rare or make no convention appearances actually show up for this one.
That's right.
I know Will Wheaton doesn't go to these. Do you think he might show up?
No, he won't.
Well, he has a thing against creation, doesn't he?
Yeah, he won't go to a creation convention. And I love the convention that they put on it in Las Vegas, but a lot of people do have problems with the way those conventions are run and the way that some of the talent and the guests are treated.
Oh, right.
And I mean, because it's so yeah, the creation conventions are definitely, if they're on that spectrum I was talking about before, they're way more towards the corporate side, like sure. Totally towards the corporate side, and it's different than San Diego Comic Con because it's much less of like a trade show feel. It's more like creation. It's like this one entity, creation, has booked and is running everything. Where at San Diego Comic Con, it feels like it's this amalgamation of a bunch of different huge companies and studios coming together to put on these huge things. And instead at the creation convention, it's like they've booked the guests and this is the schedule and this is like what's happening. So it's definitely a different feel.
And it so much of San Diego Comic Con is basically for the media presence and to impress all these nerd bloggers and YouTube personalities, right?
Very much. So it's very much.
Yeah. So much of it is we're putting on a show for the world, for the TV shows and movies that you should watch in the next 12 months. Whereas with Star Trek Las Vegas, it's none of that really. It's more about our preaching to the converted, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. And so, I mean, to me, the best part of the creation convention is, you know, because it's like Brian was saying, like I've heard William Shatner tell his stories. It's great to see the guy on stage, but, you know, I'm not going to be super upset if I miss his time on stage, you know.
Yeah.
Or even Patrick Stewart or really any of them that I've heard so many times before. But, you know, like I said, it's lovely to see them. But really, I go for the other convention goers. I mean, to see some of the people that I only ever see in Vegas every year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just like partying all night every night because it's Vegas and everyone's a Trekkie and you can just kind of let loose and have a great time. So it's an amazing convention. But honestly, I would say that's due to the attendees more than the actual structure of the convention.
Oh, okay. Right. Just because of the strength of the culture.
Yeah.
I do think if there are more Star Trek productions coming out, that panel interest may increase. So, you know, if this new show happens next year and becomes a hit and the actors come in, they'll be able to, you know, people will be packing the rooms for those people for years and years and years because there'll be a million stories to tell.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think we've been in such a lull for such a long time.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
I mean, once in a while, obviously, you know, you'll get your Simon Pegg, or you'll get, you know, Zachary Quinto or something, or Carl Urban.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's largely people who have not been involved in Star Trek for a decade or more that are headlining these shows. So I think maybe over the next couple of years, things might get a little more lively in terms of people really, really wanting to go see the actors again.
Yeah, so. No, I think that's definitely right. I think with the new show coming out, especially, if they do attend the conventions, which if they're smart, they will, then, yeah, I think I agree with you. It's going to be a totally different kind of con in terms of what you're excited to see and do. One thing that I wish Creation would do is solicit more fan-run panels, because they don't solicit at all. There are some kind of quote-unquote fan-run panels. There's a kind of a contingency of people who run panels independent of Creation each year, but it's sort of an inside deal. It's not like anyone can just sign up to apply to have their own panel, which would be really cool.
Right, you had a panel a couple of years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, so I usually, I mean, every year I join a panel with Mary Sherwinsky and Jara Hodge.
Right.
And, you know, so the people in that sort of change depending on who's there that year. But we always talk about the role of women in Star Trek and science fiction. And we're going to be doing that panel again, hopefully this year, talking about the women of Star Trek that are behind the scenes.
Mm, so nice.
That'll be a fun conversation.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is cool. One thing that I noticed is, along terms of fan panels, is they tend, or fanels we'll call them, is they tend to not get, oh, thank you, they tend to not get as much support as maybe they could. Like, I remember last year, our friends at Mission Log, their panel was scheduled exactly opposite the panel with Brent Spiner, Jonathan Frakes, and LeVar Burton, which was basically like the keynote panel of the weekend, in my opinion. Because not only was it the three of them, but Patrick Stewart was signing autographs right next to them, and he came up on stage. Yeah. So it was basically the four big stars of TNG.
Yeah, and that's kind of on Creation for scheduling that. They
Absolutely, yeah.
they're not great about that, in terms of showing some love to the secondary theater. Like, I could understand if this were like a Phoenix Comic Con or a San Diego Comic Con where you have, 20, 30, 40 panels going on at once, and you just can't deal with the scheduling. But they have two rooms, so they could just put nothing on when there's a
Yeah.
TNG panel, and that's what,
Right.
because that's kind of not fair.
No, not at all. Yeah. Well, now and then we also there was some news about a another big convention that is going to happen on the East Coast, Mission New York.
This is going to be a big one, I think.
Yeah, what why will
Yeah,
it be?
and it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before. And I'm more excited about this one than other ones because it's with, I could drive to that one if I want to.
Sure, it'll
Yeah,
be
and it's
great
in
for
my
East Coast.
backyard.
Yeah,
Yeah.
seriously.
Yeah, I mean that one's fascinating because it's going to be run by CBS and they contracted out to the same people that do Celebration, correct?
It's a
Star Wars Celebration?
Reed Pop, is that the group?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to get hung for this, but I want to say that they're the same people that do Celebration.
All right, I'm looking it up.
Star Wars Celebration? Fact check.
Fact check. Yep, Reed Pop does Star Wars Celebration as well. So yeah, you're right, it's the same group.
I mean, and I've never been to those, but people I know who have been rave about them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they really put on a great show. So we should be excited about this one, guys.
Yeah.
And it's being held in Jacob Javits Convention Center, which is where New York Comic Con is held.
Which is big.
Javits is unbelievably large. I don't know if they're planning on filling the entire convention center, but if they did, it will easily be the biggest Star Trek convention in the history of Star Trek.
Oh, well.
Yeah, and
No, I mean, it is unbelievably large.
given that it's run by CBS directly, so with the Creation Cons, I mean, like STLV is like the signature Star Trek event each year, but they never seem to get like big announcements. Like CBS doesn't come to STLV to announce big things, or at least they haven't.
Right.
And so we thought maybe they'll do something this year, but when as soon as they announced this Mission New York, it was like, ah, okay, this is where
Yeah.
they're gonna. So may I mean, maybe even the presence at SDCC will be downplayed. I doubt they'll do nothing at SDCC, but I'm almost positive they'll do something, some kind of big announcement at Mission New York.
This is also just going to be a couple months before the new TV show starts, right?
Yeah, that's right. So September 2nd to 4th. So yeah, you're right. Maybe actually CBS is going to do something,
Yeah.
television related at
That
Mission New
right.
York, and the movie stuff will be at San Diego Comic Con. That's a good thought.
Or maybe they will announce maybe the first casting at San Diego to give it a high profile
Yeah.
push and then take it a little further, in New York. Maybe who knows if they have that much casting in place because they should be shooting by September, I would think.
Oh
Oh,
yeah, they
absolutely, yeah.
must be shooting by
Maybe
September.
they'll bring some of the actors to New York.
Maybe they'll be show like the first clip of the new pilot. Wow, can
Ooh.
you imagine what that crowd will that the
Okay,
palpable feeling?
I'm going. I can't
Yeah, I think you might
not
need
go
to
to
come
this.
join us on the East Coast, Kayla.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, come on, all the cool kids are going.
Oh man.
And that's also and I think we pointed this out on the website, but that's just a few days before the little 50th anniversary.
The actual anniversary day, yeah.
Yeah, September
Yeah.
8th.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree that something big is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting.
Yeah, that'll definitely be good to go see. How accessible is the Javits Center? I mean, from if I'm taking public transportation to get into the city.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Not that bad.
Yeah, what airport
No,
does one
no.
fly into to get to the Javits Center?
Either JFK or well, any of the three major airports,
Okay.
JFK, LaGuardia, or Newark.
Okay, cool. More airline choices, that means.
Indeed.
Thinking about the schedule of, because you're talking about, they'll probably be shooting in September. I'm wondering, since this is going to be direct to All Access, are they going to release, I guess probably not since they're releasing the first episode as a standalone thing on the air and on All Access, but a lot of these made for the internet, made for streaming service like Netflix original and Amazon original, they release the entire season at once
Oh,
of a
so
show.
I don't think CBS will do that.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
No, I don't
I
think so.
completely get what you mean, and that is a very good point to raise, the way, like Daredevil drops and it's the whole season and you can
read or House of Cards or Orange is New Black, right. any of those. Yeah. That's just the format they go with so that you can binge watch it. So I just now had this thought. Well, what if they actually are going to do that? But yeah, with CBS, you know, it seems like straying too far from their formula, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, and I also think I don't believe in the binge model. I think you create more buzz if you release a new episode a week instead of releasing everything all at once. Otherwise, your buzz lasts 4 or 5 days. Everybody binges it. Everybody goes, oh, my God, it was amazing. Oh, my God, it was terrible. And then it goes away until the next season.
Hmm. The other
if you have a 12-episode season, you get at least 12 weeks' worth of publicity out of that. I never understood the binge model.
So why? I was going to say, why does Netflix do it? For example,
well, I think they're.
I don't know.
I think they're just experimenting with it.
Hmm.
I don't know if they'll keep it.
No, I would not. It would not surprise me if they eventually try to go week to week with it.
Yeah. The other thing that it hurts is kind of the secondary market for publicity, because there'll be like these YouTube personalities who, you know. That they'll do a review of every episode of Jessica Jones or whatever when it comes out. And it's like, if I binge watch the whole thing and then I can follow their pattern for reviewing each episode by episode. But if I don't, then I'm less likely to watch their stuff because I don't want to see any spoilers. And if it takes me 3 weeks to finish the series, I'm probably not going to go back 3 weeks in my YouTube queue, right?
Right.
So which again hurts the publicity that, Brian, you're talking about.
Right, and I also believe that people still like to watch things together. When, for instance, when this new show, Star Trek show, premieres on CBS, we're all going to be watching it at the same time.
Yeah.
And we can all comment on it on social media at the same time. Mm-hmm. When you're watching things on your own pace, you kind of lose something, I think.
I agree, yeah. There's also the idea of, like, speculating, like, what happened in that episode, what's going to happen in the next episode, and, like every Monday morning when Game of Thrones was on, I mean, you knew that the people in the office who watched it, that's what they were going to be talking about.
Right, the water cooler discussion.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel like, and I didn't watch it at the time when it was on, but I feel like Lost was really good at that. It also came out at a time when the internet was beginning to really become more developed for this kind of online conversation. Whereas now, it's so amazingly refined. I can't see them dropping that series all at one go. Now, if they might, and they'll prove us wrong, but we'll see. We'll see what Les Moonves has up his moon vest.
Yeah, today was a big day for Les Moonves.
Oh, what happened?
What happened today?
He became the official head of Sumner Redstone resigned as chairman of CBS today. Les Moonves became chairman of CBS.
Oh, wow.
He's the big cheese. I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's been running, I think, CBS without much oversight for a while now. Hmm. But, I mean, Sumner Redstone is not in very good condition. He's 92 and in failing health.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be interesting to see, as Moonves accumulates power within Viacom, what it means for Star Trek, if anything.
Well, it seems like he has confidence in it as part of their brand, so that's a good sign. So I'm going to steer us back towards conventions.
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, we took a left turn there.
No, that's fine. I wanted to mention a couple in Europe. I know that the United States always gets a lot of love for these kinds of things, but there are things going on in other parts of the world too. So like a big one this year is Destination Europe, which is October 7th to 9th, and that's in Birmingham in England. The prices of those tickets range anywhere from about £30 for a day pass up to a $3,000 special super awesome magical pass. There's also FedCon.
£3,000,
which I'm not sure what the current exchange rate is, but
does that include a date with Jerry Ryan?
Maybe. I haven't read the details. Maybe it includes a photo op. Probably more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I think that's just this one exorbitant thing they have. But the rest of the prices are all normal. Like £30 for a day pass is pretty standard. Like it would be like $30 in the States or something. So, and there's a FedCon, which is in Germany every year, and that's exclusively Star Trek. Sorry, I should say that again. It's not an exclusively Star Trek convention, but it has a lot of Star Trek presence and Stargate and other awesome franchises. And the Germans love Star Trek. So it's I've been there as a non-German speaker, and it was fantastic because, you know, the panelists are from American shows, and so they all speak English.
Yeah.
And most of the attendees speak English as well. And, I mean, Germans, like, speak awesome English most of the time, so you have no problem getting around with English at that con. And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
So then the other thing that we were going to talk about, too, was the touring events, which there are a few of this year.
Right.
We have something we've talked about before on the show, the Star Trek The Ultimate Voyage, the live concert bus with symphony orchestra that's going on tour. I think they're going to all...
As we speak.
Yeah, it's going right now. It's I think it's over somewhere in the eastern part of the country. I'll pay more attention as it comes farther west. But yeah, it's going to hit a ton of different cities. And I've seen a few people talking about it online who have been to it, and they've all had great things to say about it. So it's basically...
Yeah, a friend of mine saw it in Orlando, said it was phenomenal.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I definitely want to try to hit that if it comes near me, or when it comes near me. But basically, it's like they have a big screen, and they're showing stuff from the movie, and they have a symphony orchestra that plays along with it. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that, I mean, the music from Star Trek is so iconic and so amazing that it's just that would just be a ton of fun.
And there's so much of it. I mean, they could go on tour every year and never repeat a piece
of
music.
It's true.
Oh, okay. It's coming to Washington, D.C. In 10 days.
You should go.
Oh, Mr. Whitley.
Oh, maybe I should see if I can get a media pass to that.
You should definitely try to. It's nice to see all these things coming about, though. You know, I think we all agree. We feel like Star Trek has been neglected the past several years. It kind of felt like it was running on half ebb.
Yeah.
Half an ebb. And I feel like all of a sudden now we're seeing all of these great things starting to happen. And
yeah, the convention circuit is huge this year. Like, this 2016 is definitely the year of Trek. I mean, the fact that we have the movie and a new show coming out January next year, which is practically this year. I mean, it's everyone, all the stuff in preparation for that is going to happen this year. And it's just going to be totally awesome. It's like you said, like, we're going to get this new influx to conventions of, like, new actors and, like, new information. It's, you know, if you've been to a con in the last 10 years, you haven't been to a con while Trek has been on the air.
Yeah.
And that's about to change, and that's huge. And
that,
like,
that's crazy that you said that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't been. I'm thinking about it now. My first con was in, I'm trying to think, 2005. So
right as Enterprise went off the air.
Yeah, so I haven't really been to a con when things have been all exciting and new, and so this will be brand new for me.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
great. It's kind of sad that like most of my adult, like almost all of my adult life. There hasn't been new Star Trek on television.
So, you know.
Well, that's about to change.
Yay!
Think about what it must have been like for people from 1969 to 1987, right? I mean, that's 18 years. Of course, there were movies going on at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
And the animated series.
Yeah.
I mean, there was stuff to fill the void. It wasn't like a total void for 18
that's
years.
That's true. The other thing that's kind of annoyed me is that I felt like there's been a disconnect between the fandom and the new material. And I don't want to get into like a whole big conversation about that, but I do want to point out that it was sad to me at the convention, the Las Vegas convention last year, that there was absolutely no presence from the Abramsverse.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might have been the person who mentioned that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, well... Because you and I were sitting next to each other when they announced that Carl Urban wasn't going to be coming out. So then you brought that out.
Yeah, and it's like,
Yeah, there's a very odd disconnect with the reboot and the conventions.
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, like, the actors that are in the Abrams films aren't originally Star Trek actors. Like, all of the actors in the previous films started in Star Trek.
Okay,
and these guys are, like, big-time movie stars that just happen to have done a Star Trek flick. And they're all filming stuff, and they're all over the world, and they're busy and expensive, I'm sure, to get to come out. So I wasn't surprised that there hasn't been a big presence. That's why I think, like, the new show, I can imagine it's going to be mostly, if not all, like, unknowns for the All Access series. So I feel like if they're smart, and they'll probably get advice from the, you know, previous actors, like, they'll start going to cons right away.
To me, it was even more unusual. It was unusual as well because there's very little licensing for the reboot, too. I mean, when you walk into the dealer's room, it's mostly TOS and TNG in there.
Yeah, it's true.
There's very little of the reboot anywhere. It's very odd.
You see some people wearing the uniforms, which I do think look really good, but...
They look great.
But there definitely isn't the kind of merch that you'd expect to be there.
Mm-hmm. That's very
true. No, and it's not like this is a new thing anymore. I mean, this is what, year 7 of the reboot? I mean, you would think there would be more stuff out there.
The other thing that occurred to me, you mentioned that Trek's been off the air for 10 years. It was only a couple years between Enterprise going off the air, going off air, and them announcing that the reboot would happen. I mean,
yeah.
I think it was a year later, a year after Enterprise went off the air. I think in 2006 is when.
Because that's when TrekMovie.com started.
Oh, there you go.
Right, after the announcement.
Yeah.
That seems like not that long ago, but it was.
Yeah.
Oh, time. Stop moving so fast.
So what else do we have? Speaking of...
Go ahead.
Speaking of touring, there's another kind of tour going on. Creation is going to do a thing called the 50-Year Mission Tour, which is going to hit, I think, 5 or 6 different places throughout the United States. William Shatner, I believe, is headlining.
Oh, nice.
This is something I suspect that is similar. It's basically a touring convention, like a traveling thing, you know, and they'll go from place to place with largely the same amount of people appearing at these events, and you know, there'll be a dealer's room and so on and so forth. I suspect it's following the same model that they did for the 25th anniversary. I saw William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island.
Nice.
And it was only them.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's pretty cool,
It was Bill, Leonard, and a dealer's room, and that was it. Man. So I suspect that's what this is. It's going to be like, you know, you'll have a handful of, you know, actors and whatnot do their little shtick, and that will be kind of it. So I don't know if they're truly conventions in as so much as they're just personal appearances, but I suspect that's what they're going to be doing, mm-hmm. something very similar.
Yeah, so there's the people they have listed headlining it currently are William Shatner, Walter Koenig, Gates McFadden, Jonathan Frakes, LeVar Burton, Marina Sirtis, Michael Dorn, and James Darren. So those are the people right now on the list, and I don't know if they'll add to that.
I love how James Darren just sneaks in there, right?
Right.
I mean, he was added to Deep Space Nine year 7, I think, or maybe halfway through year 6. But apart from Michael Dorn, who's obviously more TNG-related, he's the only Deep Space Nine person on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that could change. Like Kayla said, there could be more people later on.
So, yeah, for those of you wondering where...
Good point.
For those of you wondering where it's going, they are going to hit, I think this is in the order that they're traveling to them as well, Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Chicago, Illinois, and San Francisco, California. Tickets run $30 to $40 a day, and they go all the way up to the almost $500 gold weekend awesome extreme super amazing package.
And that's where you get like pictures and autographs with everybody.
I assume they'll bundle a bunch of stuff in with that prize and probably get, you know, better seating and things like that.
I think that's really cool that they're doing that because a lot of people cannot travel to like Vegas or New York or some of these other places and it's going to come to you, you know, so that's kind of cool. It'll give people a chance to participate in the anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, like I said before, like if you're looking for a convention to go to and you feel like you can't travel, look for something around you, like a small convention. And just because it's small doesn't mean it's going to be not good. I mean, in fact, it could be better than some of the big cons that you go to. So yeah, I would definitely encourage people to look around and see what's happening, like right in their own town. You might be surprised to learn that there's a convention happening. So.
Yeah. When was the last time that you had this many Star Trek stars beam into Minneapolis, for example?
Yeah, or Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Exactly. Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Well, actually, Cherry Hill Creation runs shows in Cherry Hill, New Jersey regularly.
I stand corrected.
I think like a chiller convention and a few other things. That some for some reason is like a bunker for them. Hmm. I don't know why, but it is.
No, that's cool.
I mean, I haven't been to anything there, but I know that they run them fairly frequently.
Well, there you have it. Should be a busy year for those who wish to be involved with the conventions.
Definitely. It's only, as Brian said to us before in an email, it's only the 50th once.
Mm.
And so if you're thinking of, if you've never been to a convention or you don't know what it's like, or if you think maybe it's just weird and silly, like this is the year to try going to a convention because it's going to be awesome and huge and fun and there's going to be a ton of people and it's just going to be a great time. And it's only the 50th once, so it's definitely a good time to start your convention-going experience.
This is also, I know I'm sometimes kind of grim with this, but I think for some of these stars, they may choose to retire. They may get to a point in their advancing years that they don't want to do this anymore. So this may be one of the last times to see Walter Koenig, for example. So if you want to do that, you need to do that. And if you do see Walter Koenig, he loves when you bring up Babylon 5. He loves that. Anyway, there you go. Well, do we have any closing thoughts or other interesting convention-related anecdotes?
Well, Jared, I was wondering if you had any Trek
Oh,
anecdotes this week.
I do. So
Ooh.
I was thinking about that this morning. So I may have told you this, guys, this already. In 2014, I flew back home and I went to the Salt Lake City Comic Con with my brother and his daughters. And I was sleeping on the couch outside my niece's room, and she was 10 years old at the time, big Star Trek fan, and she was going as Captain Picard when he gets turned into a kid, and then my brother was going as
Yes.
Commander Riker. And you know, at 6:30 a.m., I hear her alarm go off, and within seconds, she materializes next to me in the couch in her uniform with her back turned to me, asking me to zip her up because she did not want to waste a minute of that day not in her uniform.
Aww.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. And then when we were going around, you know, because the convention is so packed, whenever she saw somebody in a Star Trek uniform, she would examine their pips to see if she could give them orders.
Ah, that's great.
Have I not told you guys that story?
No.
Oh,
No,
yeah.
I remember you sending us a picture
Okay,
of
that
her.
must have been it. Yeah, but she
That's
was,
amazing.
and she met, she's a huge fan of Mythbusters. She introduced me to Mythbusters. So she got her picture with Grant Imahara, and that was, you know, like just the best thing that she could have experienced. And when we were talking to Grant last year in Vegas, I told him that, and I was so happy to say, you know, you just made my niece's year. It's a fantastic experience.
Sounds like your niece is
Very
pretty
cool.
awesome. We should have her in the show.
Oh, that is not a bad idea.
No, we should
That is not
totally
a
do
bad
that.
idea at all. She might need some coaching. That actually would probably be a better thing to do when I'm home at some point, and she and I can be in the same room together.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Her, I
Yeah,
would
let's
love to
do
get
that.
her
Let's do that.
perspective on like the Next Generation or whatever her favorite series is.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think they've only seen some TOS, mostly TNG, and then maybe a couple fan productions.
All right.
Very cool.
Yeah, when we were there last time, what episode did we watch together? I know we watched Tapestry together, maybe the Pegasus, because of course there's that Captain Picard Day thing at the bit at the beginning.
Yeah,
Right.
adorable.
Yeah, no, but it's very fun. It's very fun to be able to share that with them. So
Very cool.
good. I'm glad you like that one. Alrighty, well, I guess we'll close another one out. Again, this is February 3rd, 2016. This is episode 11 of Shuttlepod. Those of you that might not otherwise, please follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, and feel free to continue our conversation with us there. If there's other subjects that you'd like us to talk about, feel free to let us know. If there are Trek anecdotes that you'd like to share with us, feel free to do it on those social media platforms, or of course at our website in the comment section at trekmovie.com.
Thanks, everyone. See you
Thanks.
later.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Guy walks into the doctor's office. The doctor tells him you need an operation. The guy says, I want a second opinion. The doctor says, okay, you're ugly too, but boom, boom.